I want to, this morning, is a wireless mic working, Brad? I think I'm going to need it here. I want to kind of wrap up as we're going into Christmas on teaching on healing. you know, as you all know, Mike went to be with the Lord. This week, we did his graduation service here in this room. You know, Mike was ready. I mean, he was excited. And to be honest with you, the only reason he stayed was because of Amanda and us. He didn't want to let Amanda down, and he didn't want to let me down. He didn't want to let the church down. And we went by there. What night was it? Huh? I'm talking about before he passed away. Monday night. It's been a busy week. I've got all my days confused. We went by there and visited with him a little bit. And I asked Amanda, I said, have you told your dad? I said, it's okay. If he decides he wants to go on, it's okay. She said, yeah. She said, I did that last night. She said, I told him it was okay if he wanted to go on. And so I told him. I said, Mike, I said, you're not letting me down. I said, you're not letting the church down. You're not letting the message down. You know, if you decide you want to go on, you want to go be with the Lord, I said, it's okay. Just go in peace. Go be with the Lord. And Amanda said, we hadn't been gone 15 minutes, and the process actually started of him going to the other side. And there comes a point when you're standing with people. We've stood with a lot of people through the years in sickness, and I can fully understand why some pastors won't teach healing, because it's just easier. Just, you know, whatever happens, it's going to happen, and it's the Lord, and don't worry about it, and just embrace it. But I hope what you have learned from 10, 12 weeks of teaching on healing, I hope what you have learned is what I learned when I moved over, when Judy and I learned, we moved over amongst the Word of Faith people, is that healing is in the atonement. Whether you ever procure it, whether I ever procure it, or whether I don't, it's still there. You know, and people don't have any problem with the fact that salvation was one of the main focuses. If not, it was the main focus of what Christ went through. He went through so that we could be born again. We know from the Word that it is available to whosoever will, don't we? But are all the whosoever's out there, are they accepting salvation? Do people die every day? It's funny, we were over with visiting with the family, and one of the cousins got to talking about all the different uncles, and one of them called one of them by name. He said, he ain't in heaven. He said, he's in hell. He said, there ain't no doubt in my mind he's in hell. And then he called another part of the family, and he said he's with him. Isn't that sad? Well, because the opportunity is for whosoever will. Now, I'm not judging. I'm not saying whether they are or not. I'm just saying that's what I heard repeated, okay? So, even though salvation is available, it's not accepted by others. Even though healing, it's just as much God's will to heal from everything I can find in the Word of God. Basing it solely on the Word of God, from everything I can find, it's just as much God's will to heal as it is to save. Just as much. There's no difference. And on healing, we live in a fallen world. Okay, I could spend a couple of Sundays talking about where does sickness come from. It comes from many different places. The root of sickness is sin. Without sin, sickness would have never got into the world. And if sickness would have never got into the world, death would have never got into the world. But it did. And through Adam's fall, sickness, disease came into the world. Death by sickness and disease. Sin came into the world. All of it came together. It came as a package. Satan gave us a wonderful present. For those that think that it's so much fun to serve the devil, he gave us a package of sickness, of sin, sickness, and disease, and death. It all comes out of darkness. It doesn't come out of light. I don't care who wants to teach you that. I don't care how much they want to tell you that sickness comes from light. It does not. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no disease in heaven. God doesn't have any up there, so he doesn't have any to give you. It comes out of darkness. It comes out of darkness. Okay. So, as we begin to teach this series, what I wanted you to see was how God worked. He sent Jesus. Jesus came. Well, actually, we actually started back further than that. We went all the way back to the beginning, and in the book of beginnings, and we found that God, in revealing himself to the Israelites, he said, "For I am the God that healeth thee." He stated that. I am the God that healeth thee. So, he was the healer then. He said, "I'm the Lord God, I change not." So, if he doesn't change, he was the healer yesterday, he's the healer today, and he'll be the healer tomorrow. Because he doesn't change. We also know that it says he's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another. If you see where he did somebody else, he blessed somebody else, you can just jump up and down and rejoice when you see God bless somebody else, because he'll bless you too. Amen. The exact same way. All you got to do is just see it with somebody else. So he said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." But in his revelation, in God's revelation of himself to mankind, it's very interesting to read the Bible. I hope you're reading the Bible through, whether you buy one of the yearly through the Bible in a year or not, and I don't use it through the Bible in a year. I don't like trying to keep up with reading plans. What I do is I read, and where I stop at, I mark the Bible where I stopped at, so that when I start back up again, I start back at that mark, and I've got an Old Testament mark and a New Testament mark, and I just keep reading from there, and I read as much as I want to read every day, and then I close it up, mark it off, so I'm not keeping up with somebody else's schedule. I'm keeping up my schedule of what I want to read and how I want to read it. So as we're reading it, God reveals himself. He starts in Genesis revealing himself, and it's beautiful. He just starts out saying, telling people, "I'm God, I'm here." He had to get that into mankind. Man had drifted so far from God that he had to get it in and said, "I'm God, I'm here, I exist." And that's what he was coming through the early parts, just saying, "I'm Elohim." Right? And then he starts revealing himself more further. He says, "I'm going to give you some more attributes of my character." And he said, "One of them I want you to understand." He said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee. I want you to understand that. I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now, we come to a conundrum there that I cannot comprehend how Christians can come to the point of saying, well, he's the God of sickness, but yet he's the God of health. And if he's the God of sickness and the God of health, he's a house divided. And Jesus himself said, "A house divided against itself will not stand." So how can you say, well, he's both. He's the healer, what he wants to be, but he's more than he's the healer, he's the one that brings the sickness and disease. He does not. We live in a fallen world, okay? Sickness and disease is all around us. Yeah. We have to focus ourselves on renewing our mind. The Spirit of God speaking through Paul, he said that you'll never prove what's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God unless you renew your mind. So you get your mind in tune to what the world says. You get your mind in tune to what medical science says. You get your mind. You remember the one with the issue of blood? Roger taught that for us. Did a beautiful job. One Sunday morning, the woman with the issue of blood, she went to all the doctors, the best doctors she could find, and spent everything she had. How many people in America or in the world, period, can you find today that have gone to doctors to spend everything they have? The doctors have got all their money, they've got none, and they're none the better for it. That's what this woman had did. She had gone to the best doctor she could find, spent all of her money. She had no money left. She's still getting worse. She wasn't getting better. She's getting worse. And finally she said, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get to him, oh, if I can just get to him. And she did. And she was miraculously healed. And the beautiful part about that story, Jesus didn't say, it's because you touched me. He didn't say, it's because I am the Son of God. And man, you are so wise to try to get in here and touch the hem of my garment. You are so wise to do that. So, boy, you are so blessed because you figured that out. He turned to her and he says, woman, it's because of your faith. It's your faith. And so that's the reason we spend so much time teaching in the area of healing, is we want to build up your faith in the area, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or hearing the Word of God. What did God have to say about it? What did God have to say about it? Now, there's actually two different kinds of unbelief. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time there this morning, but I do want to just kind of introduce the fact to you. Maybe we'll come back later at a later time and teach more in the area. It's because of unbelief that the Word of God and the ability of God does not work in our life. We just simply don't believe it. And so there is an unbelief that is actually based on the fact that I've never heard. I'm not believing simply because I haven't heard the Word preached. I haven't heard what God had to say about healing. When Judy and I moved over amongst world life, we spent a year, just every spare moment, we cut the TV off, we quit buying newspapers, we quit doing it. We spent a year doing nothing but studying the Word of God from the aspect of, is healing actually in the atonement? You know why we had to do that? We both raised in church. Both our mothers raised us in church, kept us in church, but we'd never heard a message taught on healing. We'd never heard one. We'd never heard that healing was in the atonement. In fact, when I first heard that healing was in the atonement, I thought it was coming from crackpots. I thought this was crazy. And I said, that's not in the Bible. But the problem was that I had been relying on what people told me was in the Bible instead of studying for myself to find out what actually was in the Bible. And as we began to study and apply ourselves, what we did in that studying and in that applying ourselves is we discovered that healing was very much, whether I could procure it, whether I couldn't procure it, it had nothing to do with it. All that matters, all that's important is, what does God's Word say? God's Word says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Over and over and over. So we had to be, he stated that in the Old Testament. We come up to Jesus' life. What was the main thing that we seen in the ministry, in the three and a half year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? What was the main thing that we seen in his ministry? Healing. He went about according to Acts 10:38, as how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And he went about doing good. You realize that's the gospel? That is the gospel. How God anointed Jesus and after the Holy Ghost power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were pressed of the devil. So that's what Jesus did while he was here. He went about everywhere doing good, and over it said he healed them all. In some places it's inferred that he didn't actually heal them all, but it said he healed every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. So there was no manner of sickness, there was no manner of disease that was not subject to his authority. But now, we know that he went to his own country, he went to his own town. And when he went to his own town, the Word says that he could do no mighty works there. And I have always heard that taught in the past, that he healed a few people with minor disease like headaches and things like that. But I heard a wonderful man of God who was a Greek specialist in the field of Greek, and he said that's not the case. He said that's not what it's saying. He said he actually healed people that were so sick they couldn't resist him. they couldn't fight against him. Somebody that was in a coma or so weak that they couldn't respond. He said, and that makes sense. But he said, they weren't using their unbelief against him. The disciples came to him after he cast out a demon out of a boy that was making the boy sick, had something like epilepsy or something, and Jesus cast the devil out of the boy. And when he cast the devil out of the boy, the disciples asked, well, we couldn't do that. Why couldn't we do that? Jesus looked at him and says, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. So, their unbelief was actually based on they had heard the word, but they had no faith in it. Because Jesus had told them, he said, you will cast out devils. You will. Didn't say you'll cast out all the devils except one special kind. Or there's a few out there that are so tough you can't get them. He said, you'll cast out devils, and you'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. He said, you'll do that. And so, instead of just accepting that, they hit a place that their faith stopped. Their faith just stopped. They couldn't get beyond this one little boy that had a demon. They could. You remember Peter got out of the boat, and he started to walk on the water. You know, and I've taught this for years, and for people, I've got a whole message I love to do, because every time I do it, it gets comical, you know, because it's just there's just an anointing on it that's a comical anointing. But Peter got out of the boat, and he started to walk on the water. Well, Peter walked on the water. Peter really did not walk on the water. Everybody knows it's physically impossible to walk on water. But what did he do? He walked on the Word. That's very important for you to comprehend. He didn't walk on water. He walked on Word. Jesus just said, come. So he took that one word that Jesus said and said he got out of, and he just started walking across the water. Not walking, literally walking on the water. He was literally walking on the Word. Because he started to sink. That just said, water won't hold you up. Said he began to sing. Jesus reached out and took him by the hand, and he said, why did you doubt? He said, you were doing fine. Why did you doubt? Why did you start to doubt? Do you realize we can start in faith? We can begin something in faith, and somewhere down the line we just get tired. I see that a lot in cancer patients. We start in faith, and we're confounding the doctors. And the doctor said, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. With Mike, he far outlived what the doctor said he could live. Far outlived it. And it was almost as a testimony. I know it didn't come from God, but the very doctor that told him he only had days to live, in the meantime, his mother comes down with the exact same disease and is dead in 2 weeks. And here's Mike still alive. Still alive. So we can confound the doctors with and I see it a lot. We actually know of one case that where we were praying, believing with the individual, they actually lived for years past what the doctor said they could. But they never got totally free. They never got totally free of the cancer. It was still there, even though doctors would shake their head and say, we don't understand why you're still alive. Mike was coherent, and when he was talking to Amanda the night that he passed away about 6:30 in the morning, and sometime early in the morning, she said he looked at me and told me he loved me. And said she told the hospice nurse, that nurse said, she said, I don't understand that. She said, he should not have been coherent at all. That he shouldn't have been able to communicate. Said he should have been not communicative back yonder. And said he was communicating to you, telling you he loved you. He communicated to Judy and I as we were over there that evening. He communicated to us, knew who we were without any problem. Yeah. So I'm not trying to tell you that we understand everything there is to understand about about healing. Okay, there's things that I don't understand. But I do know what the Word says. I'm not saying I know everything the Word has to say, because I grow in revelation every time we go through a struggle. And there's many things that you know, we could share. I'm sure there's Roger and Evie, they pastored for this 30 years. I'm sure that they could tell you, but there's things that we don't tell. You have to just learn for yourself, because you can't. You can't say, well, I've seen this person, and they did this, and they did this, and they did this wrong, they did this wrong. And it's really, when you get down to it, it's not based on what we do right and what we do wrong. It's based on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's still, it comes from where our heart's at. It comes from, it's based on us and our ability to receive. When Jesus went to his hometown and said he could do no mighty works there, why could he do no mighty works there? It was because of the heart of the people in his town. Now, other towns weren't that way. The other towns, he was laying hands on the sick, and he was recovering. He was giving sight to the blind. He was opening deaf ears. I mean, he was just doing amazing things. But when he got to his hometown, he could do nothing. And word says he marveled at their unbelief. So we've got the unbelief of just not knowing. That's curable, isn't it? All we got to do is just apply ourselves and study the Word of God. What did God have to say about it? I don't care what Dr. So-and-so had to say, and I'm talking about a doctor who studied theology. I don't care what he's got to say. I don't care about what some book somebody wrote's got to say. I care what the book has to say about it. Amen. What does the book have to say? Amen. And so we walk by the book, and we make mistakes. As pastors, we make mistakes. As the sick, the person who's actually sick, we make mistakes. Why? Well, we've never been through this before. You know? And so what I want to do is keep you as prepared as you can, because again, the Spirit of God said through Paul, he said, if you don't renew your mind to think the way God thinks, he said, you're never going to prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think there's degrees in there. He said, Jesus said, when you sow, he said, there's going to be a return. He said, if you sow in faith, there's going to be a return. He said, it's going to be a 30, 60, and 100. He said, some people are going to get a 30, some people are going to get a 60. So there's a varying amount of return, isn't there? So if you take that and then you apply it, he said, there's good. He said, you'll prove what is the good. You could say good, well, okay, we're at 30%. That's a pretty good return. In today's economy, that's a tremendous return if you're just getting a 30% return. So you've got a good. I've got an acceptable. What's acceptable? Jesus, according to Jesus, acceptable will be 60. I'm getting a 60% return. But if I can step over in the perfect will of God, what's perfect? That's 100%. I've heard people say, well, you got to give 110%. Ain't no such thing. If you're giving 100%, there ain't nothing left. You don't give it all. There's no such thing as 110%, 120%. You know, if you give 100%, you got nothing left to give. So he said some are going to get 100% return. You know, I'd love to step into that 100% return area. How about you? I'd love just step across that line and get into the 100% return. Well, as we're coming back from Ramah, there was one of Judy's uncles. Had terminal cancer, and they said he was dying, and so we took him on and started praying for him, and we'd go by and we'd lay hands on him, and they called at one point and said, well, he's dying, said he'll be dead in less than 24 hours, he'll be dead, and so we went by there and laid hands on him, prayed for him, and the cancer started receding instead of increasing. And so in 24 hours, instead of being dead, he went home. Yeah, he went home. Well, he stayed at home, and him and his wife sitting around talking at night. And y'all don't know any of these people, so I can give you a little bit of the details. I wouldn't do that if it was somebody in the church that you might could figure out who it is, but you don't know. So him and his wife sitting there talking at night, and he's getting ready to go back to work. He has planned to go back to work the following Monday. And she said, called him by name, and she said, what do you want me to do with your truck when you're gone? He had a nice little import truck. He said, what do you want me to do with that truck when you're gone? So got his mind off of healing and going back to work to the fact that he was dying. So Monday, instead of going back to work, he's back in the hospital. And so they call us again and said, well, he's dying. Said, this time he's dying. He said, it's up in his neck. Said, you can see the cancer in his neck. And said, and you could. You could see the swelling and stuff in his neck. And we went prayed for him. Laid hands on him, prayed for him. He went back home again. I'm talking about his earthly home. He went back to his earthly home. And he was there, you know, been there several days. And I don't know, it might have been a couple of weeks. And so they're sitting there, and we're thinking, well, we got this thing licked. We're getting victory. And his wife looks at him while they're sitting there one night watching TV. Said, what songs you want sung at your funeral? And so a day or so, he's back in the hospital dying again. Well, they call us, they tell us, and I go over there to the hospital, and the family decides they don't want me in the room. And so I said, I'm out in the hospital. Lord, I'm not going to fight them to get in the room. I said, you know, I ain't going to get no fist fight here to get in the room. They said he hadn't talked to anybody in days. Said he had gone to a place that they thought that he was not coherent because he hadn't talked to anybody in days. And he just laid. And so I'm standing outside the hall, and I said, Lord, if you want me to go in that room and talk to him, I said, you're going to have to make a way. A doctor comes and walks in the room and starts talking to him, and they said, well, come on, let's walk down the hall. And so the wife and the doctor goes out of the room, start walking, and everybody with them, there was probably six of them, come out into the hall and followed that doctor down the hall. There was nobody in the room. So I walked in the room and called him by name, said, I said, they tell me you can't talk. I said, is that true? Can you not communicate with me? He said, no. I said, have you give up on me? You're going to quit? You're going to go be with the Lord? He said, no. He said, I'm not ready to quit. He said, I want you to pray for me. I said, you want me to pray the prayer of faith for you to live? He said, yeah, I do. And so we did. We prayed the prayer of faith for him to live. A couple minutes later, everybody starts coming back to the room. He shuts up again. He's laying there. Won't say a word. You know. So another minister comes in from another denomination that they don't believe in healing at all. He comes into the room, and he said, well, let's pray. Let's have a prayer. I have no problem, Matt. Let's pray. And so everybody in the room, there's like six or seven people in the room, they gather hands around and just totally leave me out. I mean, you know, I'm just standing back here in the corner. You know, and the sick man looks up at his wife, and he said, y'all left Frank out. Get him in the circle. That's first thing. They hadn't heard him communicate. So I come up and I get in the circle, and I let them pray. I don't agree with them, but I let them pray. And the next day, he had a wonderful day. He was smiling and talking to people and all. I thought, we got it. We've got it again. We've got it under control. But then the next day, he went to be with the Lord. So now, we could give you examples like that. I'm getting Judy to share. Judy went in and prayed with some of her family. And this one was as good as dead. They thought the next day they would actually be doing the funeral. And she comes in, and I've asked her ahead of time, told her I was going to ask her to do this, to share this testimony, so that you can hear a testimony from somebody besides me. Because once we got the message on that it's God's will to heal, we started looking for people to lay hands on. We started, God said, told my tithe, he said, try me in this. We did it in the area of healing. We said, we're going to try God in this. And so we started looking for people to lay hands on and believe with them for their healing.
We started searching for them out. You know, and it's amazing how God would bring them up. Usually it would come inside of family circles that the opportunities would come, but all of them weren't. All of them weren't. Go ahead, honey.
Praise the Lord. This is an aunt. When my sister and I were little girls, my uncle, who she was married to, this is an aunt through marriage, he was still in the house, and he was kind of like a teenager, and my sister and I kind of grew up with him, and we just loved him and kind of watched him, you know, grow on up, and he was always a real funny person, and he was just one of those people that, you know, was in your life that you grew up and they were there, and we just loved him so much. And then I remember when they got married, and she just came right on into the family, and she just was, they were just so cute together, and, you know, she was just a blessing and had a real neat personality, and so I just really loved them. I guess they were just part of my life, you know. And I think it's probably, I was trying to think, maybe 15, 20 years ago, maybe, I don't know, somewhere around in there. And we were at church on Wednesday night, and I was back in children's church. I can remember where I was, and I got word. A mother came back there, or some way or another, a mother called, I can't remember, and said that Aunt Janice was very, very sick, and the doctors didn't look for her to make it. And I remember I was real busy doing something back there, and I just kind of, you know, I didn't stop what I was doing. I didn't break down or anything like that. I just said, really? And just went on what I was doing, and we had church, and, you know. But then that night, I guess it really began working on me. And by the next morning, I told my husband, I said, I've got to go over there and pray with her. At that time, I don't believe that I would say it's God's will to heal every time. It's taken a lot of teaching. It's taken a lot of years to get to that point. We believed in healing. We believed in healing very strong. But we live in such an area where most of the people do not believe in healing. You don't realize how it's pushing down on you all the time. You don't realize it unless you get to some place where that does not exist. Like out in Oklahoma, it didn't exist. Like when you went into town, it was just, people just believe. They believe the word. You know, it's not what your denomination teaches. I have a feeling it's that way out in California. I don't know. But anyway, it wasn't, you know, some big voice that I heard. Like Pastor Frank says, I didn't see lights flashing or anything like that. I just had this unction. It wasn't I was trying to go to them and impose the great word of faith message that we had gone to school over, and, you know, we had left the denominational church and now we've got it all together and nobody else does. It wasn't like that at all. It was just an unction. I had to go. And so I called my sister and my little niece and just got them to ride over there. And just, I don't know, just for strength or comfort or courage or something. And we rode over there. And this is some of the same bunch that he was talking about earlier. That was a great uncle. That story that he was telling earlier. So this is some of that same bunch. And they had never darkened the door of our church. They had never embraced what God had called us to do. And we went in the room, and instead of 6 or 7 people, there was at least 20. And they were around her. What had happened, she was a nurse, and something, she had some kind of problem. I don't know what it was. But she started giving herself injections. Because she was a nurse and she could do that, and she gave her own injections. And some way or another, through that, something went really bad, and she was dying. And they had called the brothers and the sisters and the cousins and all those people from out of town, people that would never come to town. unless somebody was dying. And they were all around her bed, and walked in that room, and it was just, you know. And I found my uncle, and I said, I think he had stepped out, and I stepped out and found him, and I'm like, I can get some, when I see him, I'll get some courage, you know. And I went up to him, and I hugged him, and I said, you know how Word of Faith people do? They say, how do you want me to pray? And when you ask that, you're always expecting, you're going, you know, you're expecting somebody to come back in faith and say, this is the way we're going to pray, this is the way we believe, and that's all I knew to say. And I said, well, how do you want me to pray? And that did not help at all. He said, I just want to pray God's will, just to, you know, get her out of the suffering. And in other words, how he worded it was, it's time for her to go home, and that's it. And that's what he believed. And that's what the doctors had told him, and that's they all believe that. And so I went back in there, and I just prayed from my heart. And I just said, you know, I didn't say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and be healed. And I didn't cast any devils out, you know. I just prayed from my heart, and I said, Lord, we love her so much, and we just know that you're the healer. And Lord, we just thank you for moving. And we just thank you, Lord. And it was just a prayer like that. And no wind, no angels singing, no lights flashing. And just, you know, the people there, they didn't say anything either way. And so we left. And the next morning, we got a phone call from my mother. And she was totally and completely turned around. And she is in the world today still.
Amen.
Now, they've never come to our church. You would think that they would. We've had a lot of people like that. We've had a lot of people. But again, there is a lot of fear. There is a lot of unbelief in this area because of the lack of teaching. And my husband and I were talking about it, and I told him, I said, you know, I think it's actually easier to pray for somebody that doesn't believe anything, which basically they didn't, you know. And if anything, they believed that whatever the doctor said, and they thought they were doing the right thing to believe that. There are a lot of people that they have so much respect for doctors that when the doctor says you're going to die, they're like, well, I guess I'm going to die. The doctor, who is very educated and has a lot of things and money and fame and all the things that are important to the world, says I'm going to die, then I guess I have to die. And that's the way they were. And so, you know, she was totally and completely healed. And
amen.
It was beautiful.
I would love to, there's so many of those stories. There was one where I was going to visit Diane. She was staying over at the hospital with her mother. And we'd go by the regularly, visit with them, you know, pray with them. I was going down the hall, and there was I ran into somebody who had no relationship there, but somebody that I knew and had been in the church a few times, but not, you know, not very much. And they were getting ready to do where they have to have the bag on the outside for the rest of their life.
A colostomy.
Okay, they're doing a colostomy, and I just happened to go in because I was going down there, and I walked in the room and just prayed with him. And again, no lights, no wind, no tongues of fire, no nothing. We just obeyed the word. And they were supposed to operate that day, and something emergency come up. They didn't get the operating room. They waited till, that was Friday, they waited to Monday. And on Monday, I go back because
wasn't expecting Miss Pruitt to die at any time. She said, I'm going to die when I get ready, not when. Yeah, she stayed here a long time. So I'm at the hospital. I'm going by to visit. So I'm walking by their room. They grab me. They bring me in their room. They hugging me and just said, what's going on? And they said, they took him down this morning for surgery. So the doctor wanted one more picture to see exactly where he needed to go in, what he needed to do. And so they went him in and said, they took a picture and said, run him back out. And said, a few minutes, they run him back in, took another picture and run him back out. And said, finally, said the guy, he said, they did it for about the third time. I asked the doctor, I said, doctor, what in the world is going on? And he said, be honest with you. He said, we're Friday. He said, you was a very sick man. He says, as of right now, there ain't nothing wrong with you, and we're getting ready to send you home. But it wasn't somebody that was actually in the church. Okay. Now, what we have found is that outside of the church, through our ministry, outside of the church, we have seen more manifestations that are just, you'd say, the gifts of healings. Or maybe even in the category of healing, of miracles. Where inside of the church, you know the Word, God expects you to use your faith because you're in a covenant relationship with Him, and you just trust Him because you're in a relationship with you're in a covenant, blood covenant relationship with Him. I'm going to give you one last quick story. I had a friend who ministered to church in town, actually went to school with me. He would ask me to come down at his church every now and then and speak, but in another local church. And he's going to be with the Lord. But he called me one day. He's pastoring this church. And he called me one day, and he said, I've got somebody, a lady in the church. He said, they have called for me to come. Said, the family is all there. And they said that probably said she won't even make it till dark. Said she's in the very final stages of everything shutting down, said, probably won't even make it to dark. Said, would you go over there with me and pray with me? Pray with her, and so we'll go together and pray with her. And I said, I'll be glad to, come on, come by and get me on your way over. And I said, I'll go with you. We went over there. It was 2:30 in the afternoon. When we walked in the room, we laid hands on her, prayed for her, and no lights, no tongues of fire. We're just obeying the Word. And we turned around, we left. After we prayed for her, the lady was laying in bed. She looked like she was dead. I mean, she looked like she was just about gone. And we left, and the next morning he called me. He's all excited. He said, that woman had a turnaround. He said, I went over there this morning, and he said, I asked him, because I was expecting to find that she'd already died. He said, I go in there, and they are... He said they're all excited and stuff. I said, well, when did she turn around? He said, oh, somewhere around 2:30 yesterday afternoon. And I said, she just had a complete turnaround. So she went home. And we'll go several weeks. I don't remember exactly how long, but there's several weeks in there. He calls me, and he said, will you go back over to the hospital? I said, you know that lady that we prayed for? I said, she's back in the hospital again. And said, they're saying she's got just a few hours. I said, would you go back and pray with me again? And I said, well, what happened? I said, I thought she went home and she was totally well from the report she was giving me. He said, oh, she's doing wonderful. He said, she went home, said she was eating. He said, she was going buying her own groceries. Said she was going shopping with her daughters. And he said, it was just amazing all that she was doing. I said, really? I said, you didn't mention she was back in church. He said, oh, no, she's too sick to come to church. And I said, I won't go pray with you. In fact, she'll die. She'll die. See, when you're in a fight, you got to make sure you're focusing on the fight. You need all the help you can get. You need to stay. You need to surround yourself with people that believe the way you do, people that will bolster your faith, people that will not look at you and pat you on the head and say, you bless your darling heart and stupid head. You ain't got enough sense to know you're dying. Doctors already told you you're dying. Ain't nothing you can do for you. Why don't you just die? Why don't you just curse God and die? You've got to focus on the fight. It's a fight. I've been through it enough times to tell you. when you come through these critical times, it is a fight. And you've got to put, and if you're not already built up to a certain point, you realize when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, that infamous December the 7th day, we weren't ready for war. And if they had have known how much damage they had have done to us, they could have invaded the United States continent and there'd been nothing to stop them. They just didn't know it. They didn't realize it. And so they pulled back because they didn't know what damage they had done to us. And so we had to gear up and gear all the factories up and get them producing the materials that we needed. That's why we have to be careful today with our politicians and where they want to spend our money. We have to stay ready. We have to stay ready. A lot of times when you're going to fight the good fight of faith, if you want to start getting ready at that point, it's too late. It's too late. Because it takes so much strength. It takes so much in you to come against. You know, the Bible refers to Satan as a worthy adversary. You remember, Michael wouldn't even rebuke him by name. He said, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you." So, let's all stand. If you're here this morning, you got sickness, disease in your body, we want to pray for you. Our prayer is as a church. We pray over our prayer babies. Our prayer bear babies. We had somebody this week at the funeral, we ran to somebody who their grandmother had a prayer bear baby, and it wasn't a prayer bear, it was a dog. And they said, "Y'all's church is praying for my grandmother." Said, "Y'all sent a prayer bear baby," but she said, "It ain't a bear at all." Said it was. I said, "Well, Judy told us that's what we just call the ministry, prayer bear ministry." But I said, "You know, don't tell her what it might be." You know, so we pray over them and we send them out to. And she was so proud and so thankful that first of all, grandmother had it, and that we as a church were praying over. So we pray over the prayer bear babies, and we pray, period, that God will stretch forth his hand to heal in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. That signs and wonders will be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus, because it's in the name. The power is in the name. The authority is in the name. And so when we go forth, and I find somebody, lay hands on them. You know, they say, "What if you lay hands on them and die?" Well, they were dying anyway. All you've done is give them another chance. Lay hands on them and believe the word. Just lay hands on them and say, "Father, I do this in honor of your word. I do this, Father God, simply because your word says believers lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's the reason that I do it. I want to be obedient. I want to be found to be obedient. One of these days, I want to stand before the bema seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to look at. I want him to look at me, and I want him to say, 'Well done, my good, faithful servant.' I don't want to be able to have to say, 'Well, why didn't you? Why didn't you believe my word? Why didn't you function according to my word?' I said, 'We were in faith. We were in faith. We're not going to doubt.'" You know the old saying, doubt and do without. Believe and receive. Believe and receive. If you've have sickness, disease in your body, we would love to pray for you this morning. We'd love to just believe God with you. And anyone you'd like for us to pray with you? We'll pray, "Father, stretch forth your hand to heal. Father, stretch forth your hand to heal." Father God, we want to, even though nobody is stepping out right now, we still want to pray, "Father, stretch forth your hand to heal. Stretch forth your hand to heal, Father. Stretch forth your hand to heal. Father, accomplish mighty signs." Paul said, I keep this on my door where I step out of my office to come down. It said, Paul said, "For my speaking and my preaching was not in enticing words of men's wisdom." But he said, they were in demonstration. People could see something in demonstration of spirit and power. We want to demonstrate the spirit. We want to demonstrate the power of God. Father, stretch forth your hand to heal. Stretch forth your hand to heal, Father. In Jesus' name, stretch forth your hand to heal. do mighty signs and wonders. Confirm the word preached, Father. Confirm the word. If we believed like the early church, you think we might could have the same results the early church had? The problem a lot of time is in the believing. There's two different kinds of unbelief. One, you just don't know. I try to cure that for you. I try to teach you in a manner that you can't say, I didn't know, I never heard. And the other type of unbelief is I've heard, but I don't believe. And that's what Jesus' people did in his hometown. They heard, but they didn't believe. It did not arouse a response. If faith comes, when the word preached and faith comes, it should arouse a response within you. A faith response should come. Why? Because the word's been preached. The word's been spoken. So therefore, as the word is spoken, and you realize when you're laying hands on the sick, that's what you're doing. You're releasing the word. Faith comes. Faith comes in you because you're being obedient. Faith comes in them because they're hearing the word. And God confirms his word by raising them up. God confirms his word. You say, well, you don't get everybody healed. You're never going to get everybody healed. But when the next one comes up, I'll pray with them and believe with them just like I did. I am going to get all of them healed because I believe that's God's will. I believe it's God's will that everybody's healed. Do you miss it sometimes? Do you lose the fight sometimes? Yes, sometimes we do. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to fight the next time. That doesn't mean we're not going to fight the next time. We're going to stand in faith. We're going to believe. We're going to act. I love the way Dad Hagin used to put it. He said, we're going to act just like the word of God was true. He said, so many people act like it ain't, but we're going to act like it's true. Amen? Amen? Father, we thank you for everybody coming in to hear your word this morning. We trust that it's going forth in a manner that's been pleasing in your sight, Father God. We thank you we're walking victory to victory. Lord, we thank you we know that Mike's in heaven. He made heaven his home. Father God, he is rejoicing. He is rejoicing, Father God, for being in heaven today. We thank you for that knowledge, Father God. We lift Amanda up to you. Father, we thank you. The peace that passes understanding, Father God, will envelop her, Father God. And Lord, that she will walk, that you've called her. She'll walk her race out. She'll finish her race, Father God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.